Let's encourage our hearts in the scripture this evening. We're turning to the Gospel of Luke tonight, and we are really continuing our discussion of answered prayer. This is one of the most famous answered prayers in all of the Bible, right here in the 23rd chapter of Luke. And if you think that sounds very much like the place where the crucifixion is recounted, you're correct. But of all the glories that it's in this chapter, there is an answered prayer addressed to Jesus while he's on the cross. This is, of course, the prayer of the penitent thief, the other robber who turns there and beseeches the Lord, and the Lord answers him graciously. So we're in Luke 23, and we're starting with verse 39. And we'll read down through verse 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And the Lord said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." That's been called one of the most remarkable conversion, one of the greatest miracles in all of the New Testament, all of the Scripture itself, one of the greatest miracles of conversion. And it happens just right there, just hours before the man expires. And he cries out upon the Lord and to the Lord, and the Lord answers his prayer. Now, there are a number of things here, and I just want to share this for along three lines of scriptural reasoning, actually along three lines of promise. And the first is found for us in John 6, as well as the second. So we might as well turn there. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 6. As I think of this passage, as I think of this incident, it's just one of those gripping places. It's almost hard to think about, isn't it? But there's the Son of God and the sinner, and on either side there is a criminal. And one rebukes the other at this point, at this certain point, and says, "You better, you know, why are you harassing him? He's done nothing wrong. We have. We deserve what we're getting, but not this man." And then he turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me." What a thing. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now, the first thought I think that is highlighted here is there for us in John chapter 6, verse 44. And this is where Jesus, much earlier in his ministry, had said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I don't care what your theological camp is that you're in, there is something that everyone admits to and agrees that is true. God is to be glorified in any conversion. And we say beyond a shadow of a doubt, God did this, right? Yes, yes, that's right. God did this. God saved that man. God saved that woman. He looked down, reached down in mercy, and saved that young person. And what Jesus is saying is, you back this up and you realize that what was going on behind the scenes, all unknown to human eye and human detection, was the Father was drawing. The Father was drawing that individual to his Son. This, we just sang about this, this great love that was poured out at Calvary. This thing that God himself is doing as he brings men to himself through his Son, our Lord Jesus. And our Lord is clear when he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Now, is it not amazing that on this terrible day, we call it Good Friday, don't we? It's good because of what comes out of it, but otherwise it's just a terrible day. The earth has never seen the like, and it never will. On that day, the Father was drawing, and we see it in the heart of one criminal there hanging next to Jesus. The Father is yet drawing. His heart is turned. Now, if you read the account, and I think I'll just let you do it later, it's over in the 27th chapter of Matthew. When we have the account of the crucifixion from Matthew's perspective, he said that there was a thief on either side, and both of them were hurling abuse. They were sort of picking up the cry that was being started by the chief priest, the elders, the teachers of Israel. And they thought, yeah, evidently they thought, this sounded like a good thing to ridicule this supposed Messiah. Why don't you save yourself and save us in the process? You're the king of Israel, right? And you know how they taunted Jesus. And Matthew says that both robbers were doing this. Now, the first saying of our Lord's from the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The second thing that he says from the cross is what we just read there in Luke's gospel. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Somewhere, and I'm suggesting to you that was probably after the utterance of this prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This man has a fresh view and realization of just who this teacher is. This innocent one, was he to the right or to the left? I don't know. He doesn't say which side he was on. But as he looked to his right, well, that would be my left, your right. As he looked to his left, one way or the other, he saw Jesus in a new light, and his heart began to turn. Is this an amazing thing? This is the evidence of when the Father is drawing a heart. When you consider what the thief saw, he saw this one who claimed to be the king being rejected by his people. This one who claimed to be the Lord being crucified by Romans. This one who said these great and glorious and grand promises about how the lion was going to lie down with the lamb and eat straw like the ox, etc., etc. And look at him now just being put to death. He's going to build the temple in 3 days. It's hard to do when you have nails in your hands and you can't move them. Now you're looking at this one, and suddenly you see him in a new light. Now this should encourage us forever. It doesn't matter how dark things get. The church has great hope that her message has power, and the Spirit of God will work through her preaching, and in the darkest, most terrible moments, men can be drawn. We don't necessarily have to see it. The world can be dropping out. The bottom of our world can be dropping out, and God can be doing something glorious. I mean glorious, saving a man's soul right in the midst of all that. That's the Father drawing, isn't it? Now some of you have trouble. Some of you have real perplexity. Some of you have difficulty. And that's life. But in the midst of all that, it doesn't mean that God is not working. He can be doing something absolutely glorious. And this is what's going on here on this horrible day while our Lord is crucified right next to him. God, who is just about to turn his back, if you will, on his son, is drawing this man to his son and therefore to himself. Then the next thought, and so that's the thought, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And if you ever want a proof of that, there's your proof right there in Luke 20. Where do we start? Yeah, thank you. Luke 23. Oh, there are certain things where not even God can move. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Don't sell him so short. Our arms are short, not his. Our fists and hands are weak, not his, not his. Well, also in the same chapter, Look at verse 37. This is our second point. All that the Father gives me will come to me. I like that. This is where some men get the idea of grace that's irresistible, that you just can't resist it. Your heart is melted. God does something. And Jesus is knowing this for certain. If God has given that one to me, he will come. All right. They will come to me. And this is the thing that I think is particularly sweet. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Now, he's not speaking of the Hollywood elite here, is he? He's not speaking of the successful ones that have their prime business location on the main street there in Jerusalem. He's not talking about the pretty folks and the handsome folks and the prosperous or the pleasant people. No, he's speaking of guys like this robber. Guys like this who is suffering justly because he deserves what he's getting, that by his own admission. Guys like that. And that just means, for you and for me, there's hope. Whoever comes to him means that God has drawn him. And if God has drawn him, Jesus says, I will certainly not. I will certainly not cast out. Right there. You're in his hand now, and he will not let you go. He will not let you go. I've been reading the story of some famous Scots preachers and ministers in the 1600s. One fellow by the name, I think his name was James Durham. You get back with me later on that if I've got it wrong, and I'll correct myself. But he got to the end of his race, and he was lying on his deathbed. And all of a sudden, just this flood of doubt hits him. And he thinks, I've preached all my life. But really, it's just one of those places. And it happens to some people. And we don't think the less of them. Actually, we think the more of them. We think because they're folks. They're real people. He starts having doubts. Is it right? Is it true? Am I in Christ? Will he receive me when I close my eyes in death? And maybe you've read stories like that. Maybe you've heard tales of men and women who get to their deathbed, and sometimes it's an unsettled thing. Well, he had a minister friend there with him who was helping him, praying with him and praying for him as he was there. And he said, Brother, everything's dark to me, but I've got one ray of hope. And he brings out this verse right here, John 6, verse 37. He says, Can I stake my soul on that? That all who come to me, I will certainly not cast out. His friend said, if you had 1,000 salvations to hazard, you could rest them all on that verse right there. He thought for a moment. Then he burst into praise. And he said, I see him, I see him. He's come, he has come. But it's not just preachers for whom he comes. He comes for thieves. Go over to John chapter 8, and you'll see another woman that's caught in adultery. I mean another sinner. A woman caught in adultery. And how gently Jesus deals with her. He, of all people on the planet, could condemn her. Does no one condemn you? No one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Well, wait. She was caught in the very act. Neither do I condemn. Go and sin no more. Now that is the heart of mercy. And they're crucifying the heart of mercy right there. All right, the last thought. We must high haste. Let's get over there pretty quick. Ephesians chapter 3. One last thought that comes up in this passage here. At the end of chapter 3 in Ephesians, Paul is... you feel like he's just getting off his knees and he's been praying for the Ephesians and praying for you and for me. And he bursts forth into this doxology of praise. Now to him, and you know the verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. That's Pauline. If anything was, it just starts stacking words up. You know, he's able to do all that we ask. No, he's able to do beyond all that we ask. No, he's able to do abundantly beyond. No, he's able to do more. No, he's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. I can think of some pretty amazing things. How about you? According to the power that works within us. God is at work in his people. And he can answer prayers in amazing ways. Now, this is the point. Here is a fellow who says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, that's an amazing statement. Here he's watching Jesus die, and he realizes he is going to have a kingdom. So he looks upon him as the Messiah, the Jewish. Here he is. This is our Messiah. Now, death is not going to negate his messiahship, his rule. He is going to have a kingdom. God is going to give it to him. And when that glorious day comes, whenever it will be, Lord, can I clean out your stables? Can I shine your boots? Would you remember me? Give me some little thing to do in the kingdom. He says, truly. Now, this is where he goes above and beyond all that he asks or thinks. Today, you, when all this pain is over, and your body yields up the soul, you will be with me in the kingdom. Yes, the kingdom as it exists right now in its best representation. You'll be with me in paradise. And the day is coming when we'll walk this earth together and it will all be yours. But right now, you will be with me in something that out Eden's Eden. Now, does God answer prayer? Does he ever? Does he ever? Praise God. Let's pray.